You know, they had to wait 40 days. They didn't just walk in and the Holy Spirit came, and they had to wait upon Him. When was the last time we waited upon the Holy Spirit? When was the last time we took time out of our busy lives? Remember what I said at the very beginning of these messages? It was, you can give time to the Holy Spirit? Well, I know I'm busy. I know. Get up early. Yeah, but I'm tired. Get up early. This really is serious business. There was a time Jesus gave a parable. He talked about the wedding feast. He said people were trying to get into the wedding feast without wedding clothes on. They threw them out where there's gnashing of teeth. We're coming to a time when Jesus, the Master, is coming back. The bridegroom is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back. To assume that we haven't done anything to prepare for His coming, it's a dangerous place to be in. To take for granted the goodness of God. And we're going to look at scriptures for all these things. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. We're going to find all these things. That we're going to take for granted that God just looks on us and loves us so much that no matter what we do or we don't do, because it's not always what we do do, it's a lot of what we don't do. With 10 virgins, 5 of them were ready for His coming, 5 weren't. Which 5 are we? Luke 21 tells us to watch and pray that you'll be found worthy to escape what's coming. Jesus said that. Part of the process of the Holy Spirit is prepare His bride for the coming of the bridegroom. To prepare us for His coming. That when the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And that's the work of the Spirit of God. But if we don't have a relationship with Him, how is He able to prepare us for that time? Remember I told you about Esther? It took her a year of preparation to go into the king. Jesus spent 3.5 years of prayer getting ready for the time, separating Himself from the world, being persecuted for His faith, trusting and leaning on God, being led by the Spirit, not by what He wanted. For 21 days. Never mind, I'll get to that later. In Colossians 1:15, go there with me, please. Colossians 1. Is that mine? Is that better? That's me. Okay. Listen to what he says here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We know who we're talking about, Jesus, right? For by Him, listen to this, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. So in other words, you were created for God. God was not created for you. Right? You were created for God. For what? The Bible tells us in John 1:5. Apologize. Listen to what he says here. Well, I'll read it to you. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. You were created for Him to bring Him pleasure. for not for him to bring you pleasure. You were created to bring God pleasure. Got awful quiet in here. You ever stop to think that's what your purpose here on earth is for? To bring pleasure to him? Or has it all been about him bringing pleasure to us? Jesus said, I know the Father is with me always because I only do those things that please him, that brings him pleasure. When was the last time you tried to bring pleasure to God? We went to a thing last Sunday. We listened to Mark and his group. Brought us pleasure. We went to a concert Thursday night, brought us pleasure. We went to a movie Friday night here, brought us pleasure. And don't take this wrong, not one of them did I enter into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Because I wasn't seeking to give him pleasure. I was looking to get pleasure for myself. In pleasing him, you will get pleasure. In pleasing him, you will find pleasure that you've never had before. All the pleasure of the flesh becomes dung in comparison to the pleasure you get from him. This is supposed to be an uplifting message here. But I want you to think for a moment. When was the last time you spent time preparing to go into the present, into the very presence of God? How much time did you spend? I'm not talking about how much time in prayer you spend. I'm not talking about how much time you're in the Word. I'm not talking about that. All those are all part of the preparation. You get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth because I don't want bad breath when I come before the Lord. I'm going to take a quick shower because I don't want to smell when I come into the presence of the Lord. Or do we get up and brush our teeth and maybe take a shower, wait a little while, take a shower, get a cup of coffee made and maybe, you know, turn on news, see what's going on and deal with the people around us and get ready to get to work and find out, well, what am I going to wear today? And then if we got a minute or so, we spend preparing or help me, Lord, today. Let me be a good witness for you today. And out the door we go. Then we wonder why we're not seeing the power of God in our lives. We have accepted being in the world more than being in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God. The anointing of God, we sang it this morning, more of your anointing. For what? What will you do with more of his anointing? If you get more of his anointing, you will be responsible for that. Well, I don't know what that means. I was just singing the words. That's even worse. To think that we will not be held accountable before God on how we live our life down here, with or without him. Trust me, my friends. Trust me. And listen, I'm talking from me. This is about me too, not just about you. I'm not saying, oh, look at me. I'm so perfect in all of this. No. I have been talking to God, talking to the Holy Spirit, and He keeps telling me, this is what I want you to do, and I go do my own thing. This is what I want you to do. You know what He wants? He wants me to spend time with Him. That's all He wants. The pleasure that God got from creating Adam and Eve and putting them in that beautiful garden was the time He was able to spend with them when He walked through the garden in the cool of the evening. He would come down, because He knew they couldn't go up, and He'd walk in the garden with them. That's what pleased Him. And the day that they were busy doing their own thing and rejecting God's will in their life, and they did not do it knowing there was going to be a problem here. They did not do it, say, oh, well, we'll do this, but God won't talk to us anymore. No. God came down into the garden. Who told you you're naked? Who told you? Who told you God doesn't want to spend time with you? Who told you that? The world? Your job? Your family? Your friends? The church? Who told you God doesn't want to spend time with you? He did everything He can to spend time with you. The only thing He hasn't done was to pull you up from here and take you to heaven. Oh yeah, He's going to do that soon too. Why do you think He's taking you up there? Spend time with you. Why do you think He sent His Holy Spirit? Spend time with you. I would not want to live this life without Him. I would not. I lived my life before without Him. I know what it was like. And I know the struggles I go through every day in the flesh right now with Him. But the problem is, He's with me. How much am I with Him? What did He say? You walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Problem is, we love too much the lust of the flesh and don't love Him enough and being with Him. There's not one of us in this place who can say, oh yeah, I'm all right. Come on now. We have everything we can get a hold of to distract us. The devil brings everything your way. iPads, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, whatever it is out there. All this stuff is out there. Whatever they can do to distract you from getting in the presence of God, they will do. And they'll even use this stuff to make it sound like, oh, this is good. No, it isn't. Mm-mm. People get on there, even Christians get on there, and they're on there 24/7. They're on there all the time. Where's their time with Him? How can they be on there and be with Him at the same time? Ain't going to happen. Oh, they'll throw in Jesus once in a while. They like that name. Proves I'm a Christian. Well, the Bible says even the devil knows Him and he trembles. Hallelujah. He created you for His pleasure. When you spend time with Him, it pleases Him. The more time you spend with Him, can you imagine you're engaged to someone? You're engaged, and you don't spend time with that person. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, I got a lot of things to do over here. I got to go over here. Well, what about me? Well, yeah, I've call him up on the phone. How you been? Good. Okay. That's what happens. You're engaged to Him. You're betrothed to Him. You give Him your time. You go to Him. Look at Psalms, Song of Solomon. You go to Him as a lover of my soul. Do we do that? Do we do that? Look, He made it easy for us. You don't need a cell phone. You don't need an iPad. You don't need that stuff. You don't need an intermediary. Like, you don't need a priest. You don't need a... He made it so easy. He said, listen, I'll just come and dwell within you. I'll come up and take space right next to you. I'm right in there with you. This ain't hard. This isn't, oh man, I just, no. When you're in the car, turn off the radio. Talk to him. Tell him how much you want him. Tell him how much you need him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you're looking forward to his presence in your life and want. The more you want of him, the more he's going to reveal himself to you. And when he reveals himself to you, he reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you get into knowing who he is, the more you're going to know the Father. And all of a sudden, you've raised up to the Holy of Holies. You're inside, right into the throne room of grace and mercy, where he said, come on in anytime you have a need. Come on in. But you can't go in there without the Holy Spirit. You can't. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit will show you where it is. You understand that? The Holy Spirit's going to show you how to get into that place. He said, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you're not being led by the Spirit, you can't get in there. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Not every son of God is being led by the Spirit. But if you're not being led by the Spirit, glory to God. We having fun yet? Jesus knew there was a time coming. He had been walking with his disciples now, and this is truth. You know it as well as I do, because I've thought the same thing. Everybody thinks the same thing. If I could have just lived when Jesus was here, you wouldn't have liked it. Number one, your chance of getting to him was very, very, very low. Because wherever he went, there was crowds around him so big. You know what it took for him to notice you? Faith. The woman with the issue of blood, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Blind Bartimaeus screaming out, Jesus! It didn't come quietly. He's walking along with his disciples, and his disciples were all caught up in him. And there came a day, he said, listen, it's coming a time. I'm telling you right now, I'm leaving. They spent 3.5 years with him. They gave everything they had. They gave up everything they had. They gave up their businesses. They gave up their family. They gave up their friends. Many of them gave up their jobs to follow Jesus. You remember David, the king? Remember when he fell? You remember the prayer of repentance David did in Psalm 51. Amen? One of the things he said in there was, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen? Now we know because of Christ, if you have been born again, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, don't you? Which is the Holy Spirit of God came and took residence up in you. He came out and said, listen, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. But I got a question I want to ask you. Can you tell the difference between having the Holy Spirit with you on a daily basis and not? Can you tell the difference? A lot of people can't. They're surprised when he shows up. Oh, what was that? You mean the one who's been knocking on the door of your heart for all this time? Saying, let me in? The one who's been waiting patiently? Waiting for you to acknowledge him? They say, yes, yes. That's who that is. And trust me, he's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will be faithful even if we're not. Wow. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. I like to watch YouTube, and I look at street foods. And what it is they go around the world, these people, and they blog what they're different types of food that they're trying. And I'm interested because I like people. I like to look what they live like. I like to see what they eat. All of that reveals who these people are. Well, there's this one guy on there that I always enjoy, and he tries the food. When he likes it, he goes, "Oh yeah, it's good." He does it every time. Every single time. And I thought to myself this morning, when was the last time we said, "Oh, that's good"? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, come and taste of the Lord and see if he's good. God wants you to taste. Jesus, for 3.5 years, was preparing the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Not only was it the sacrifice at the cross, which is monumental, obviously. Not only the resurrection, which was monumental, obviously. But he was preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He was telling them, get ready. I'm leaving. I'm going home. In John 16:7, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Jesus is speaking. He said, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous, he said, for you, notice he said, for you, that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. You see how the Holy Spirit will affect your whole life? It's not just to be born again. Your whole life is affected by the very presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you in a few minutes. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God. Don't try to separate God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. One God, three parts. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about Jesus. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God and Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and God. We're talking about God, we're talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Three parts. They're all doing their part. They all have their part to do. Bible says right now, Jesus said, all authority's been given to me in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. All authority's been given to Jesus right now. You know that. But there's going to come a time when the new Jerusalem is brought down to earth, Jesus is going to take that authority and give it back to the Father. Right? Each part playing their part. They know their part. But Jesus said, the Holy Spirit won't speak on his own authority. He'll speak what he's heard me tell him to tell you. You want to hear from Jesus? You got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. They're not separate. Holy Spirit won't tell you one thing and Jesus tell you another thing. If you hear the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're hearing the voice of Jesus. When you get instructions from the Holy Spirit, you're getting instructions from God himself. He said, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, can you imagine? These guys gave up everything to follow him. Everything to follow him. They had in their mind that he was going to set up his kingdom now. He was going to kick the Romans out. He was going to take over, rule the whole earth. He's going to be with us forever. No. No. I'm leaving. Yeah, but we gave up everything to follow you. Anybody here feel that way? I've given up everything to follow him? Nobody? Wow. You follow him. I've given up all to follow you, Jesus. Now you're telling me you're leaving me? Don't worry, I'm going to send somebody else back to help you. It's profitable, he said, that you allow me to leave and go and send back. Notice the Holy Spirit did not come until Jesus went back and sent him. Right? Hallelujah. Look, he goes on. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you. Or come to you, he means into close fellowship with you. When he said he won't come to you, he's saying you can't have a close fellowship with him unless I go away. Listen. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. If I go away, I'm not sending the Holy Spirit back just so that you can feel him once in a while. I'm sending him to you so that you can have close fellowship with him. Just like Adam and Eve had close fellowship with God in the garden. That's what he wants for us. Have close fellowship with him by his Spirit while we're here on earth. Remember what I said? Have you spent time in fellowship with him lately? That's what he came for. He didn't just come to save you. Once he saved you, he said, now I'm bringing you into a relationship so that I can spend time with you, so we can spend time together. Because I got things I want to tell you. I got things I want to show you. I got things I want to do with you. I got things I want to do through you. I didn't just save you so that you can go to heaven and do whatever you want down here. That's not what it was all about. That was not my intent. My intent was to save you so you can be in relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not saved. When you accepted the sacrifice on the cross for your sins, not for somebody else's sins, for yours, and I want to be honest with you, you need to come to a place where you understand fully and completely how bad your sins were. You understand that? They were so bad, what happened to him on that cross was what should have happened to us because of that sin. You deserved what he got. I deserved what he got. That's how bad that sin was. But because of the shed blood of the Lamb, he shed his blood, washed and cleansed us of all unrighteousness. The sins were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, removed from us as far as the east from the west. And unless that happened, the Holy Spirit could never have come in, because the Holy Spirit doesn't go into sin. Because it's called holy. He took up residence because you were made holy by the shed blood of the Lamb. He came to reveal not only the relationship with the Father and the Son, but he also came to reveal the power of the living God. Jesus came. When he came, he just didn't talk about it. He showed what it means to be a child of God. He is our example of what it means to be moved and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us should be doing exactly what we saw him do. That's it. He did not come just down here to say, oh, you're going to heaven now. No. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. He just said this. He said this to me. He said, David, I went to prepare a mansion for you. Thank you, Lord. Then he said, I sent the Holy Spirit to prepare you to live in that mansion. Woo! Oh, come on. That'll excite the heck out of you. Or the hell out of you, one or the other. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? He just told me that. He said, I sent my spirit to clean up the mess that you're going to live in a mansion and you're not taking the mess with you. So why do you keep living in the mess down here? Why do you like the mess so much that you're living in? When the Holy Spirit invades you, what happens? He changes you, doesn't he? When the Holy Spirit invades your home, what do you think is going to happen? When your Holy Spirit invades your job, what do you think is going to happen? But when just you go there and you leave the Holy Spirit out of there, not by might nor by power, Zerubbabel said, by the Spirit of the living God. We're talking about living a life that when the storm comes, you're prepared for the storm. Matter of fact, when the Holy Spirit and you're walking with the Spirit, he'll warn you about the storms to come before they came. You understand that? He'll warn you. Scriptural. Scriptural. When the Holy Spirit comes, verse 8, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin. About righteousness, the uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. The Holy Spirit came, and what happens? It filled you. Right? Came in, took up residence in you. Amen? Everybody agree with that? And when you're walking in the Spirit, it brings conviction to other people. Which many times will bring persecution from them because they hate seeing their sin. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you won't convict anybody. Matter of fact, they'll just love you. And that's what we do. The church says, well, I just got to show them love. I got to be like them so that they won't be bothered, and they won't be saved, and they won't be changed, and they won't go to heaven. Because it's not by your goodness that's going to get them there. It's not by your niceness, and the way you talk isn't going to get them to heaven. What's going to get them to heaven is the power of the living God living in you, revealing their sin that convicts them of their need for Christ. I was reading a story about a guy who was a Marine. His wife started going to church. She tried to convince him to go. No, don't want to. One Sunday he's out mowing the lawn. All of a sudden the Spirit of God hit him. He dropped the lawnmower, went to church, got saved, and walking with the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit finally reached him and convicted him of his sin and his need for salvation. His wife couldn't do it. The Spirit of God did it. Now, I'll guarantee you one thing. His wife was praying for him. So when you start praying, don't say, Lord, save my husband, save my wife. Pray, Holy Spirit, convict them of their need for salvation. Convict them of their sins. Whew. Well, I don't want them to feel bad. Well, until they feel bad, they'll never feel good. Right? They're not going to feel better not until they're dealt with in their sins. I remember a time when we were living in Virginia, Diane and I, in sin. We were married, but still we were in sin. Doesn't matter if you get married. If you're in sin, you're in sin. Married or divorced or separated or together. Right? Without Christ, you're in sin. If you're in Christ, then if you're in sin, the Holy Spirit should be convicting you. If it's not convicting you, maybe you're not saved. I'm just saying. Sin, the Holy Spirit, one of His purposes is to convict you, not to condemn you, but to convict you of sin, that you'll repent of it quickly. 1 John 1:9, okay? So we're down there, find out that Diane was pregnant. And all of a sudden I said to her, now we weren't going to church, we were as far from church as you could possibly get. We actually moved into, left Virginia, we moved to Buffalo, outside of Buffalo, doesn't matter where. And I said to her one day, I said, we got to go to church. Where did that come from? I hadn't been in church in over 10 or 12 years. I wouldn't know what church to go to. Didn't know what church to go to. Didn't matter. All I knew is we were supposed to go to church. That's Diane. She'll tell you. So she said, all right. So we went to the Catholic church. In 15 minutes and out. Gave our dollar. Not understanding what was going on. Well, come to find out later, we found out what it was. It was the Holy Spirit starting to work. Come to find out, the church my sister was going to, which was right over here, was praying for us. The Holy Spirit, we're in Buffalo. The Holy Spirit got us in Buffalo. When you start being led by the Spirit and you seriously know the will of the Spirit, you say, Lord, not my will. You start praying for these people and ask the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin. He will do those things. We ended up, probably truthfully, that day in that service over here when we moved back to this area, Easter Sunday morning, right over here, was the day we really got saved. When the tears flowed, the Spirit moved. Don't even know what was going on. Had no clue what was going on. Still didn't understand it. Still didn't understand it. It took years, and we still didn't add it all together. And I started doing this, and all of a sudden I saw, that's what happened. That's why we decided to go to church. Because somebody was praying in Nassau, New York, and the Holy Spirit was ministering to us in Buffalo. It's time to get ready. Oh, there's no distance in time where the Holy Spirit's concerned. We'll see later in the scriptures that He's every place. It worked. I'm positive. Diane and I, both of us. God. About sin, because they do not believe in me. They don't trust in, rely, or adhere to me. Amen. Trust in, rely on, and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. About judgment, because of the ruler, evil genius prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. When you start walking in the Spirit, Satan hates that. Don't be surprised if an attack comes. Don't be surprised. I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But listen to this. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. The Holy Spirit was not given to us for having a good time. It was given to us that we can bring glory to our Heavenly Father. In that, I promise you, no matter what you do in this world, when you experience that presence and you do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, and you know that you know that you know, I did this out of no ulterior motive, no selfish motive, no motive whatsoever except the glory of my Heavenly Father, you will find a joy you've never experienced before. It's a pure joy, not based on your feelings or emotions or circumstances, based on the very presence of the Holy Spirit moving in you that wipes away all the other ugly stuff that has separated us from God, because all those other things, selfishness, anger, frustrations, all that stuff separates you from the very presence of your loving Father. Not because God does that, because sin does that. In the midst of that, you're going to find that God provides for His own. He brings you beside still waters. He brings you into green pastures. He brings you to places that you've never experienced before. All of a sudden, doors open of opportunities that you never thought. Pretty soon, your pockets have finances in it that you never looked for. All of a sudden, you just say, where did that come from? That's because the Holy Spirit is leading you, and the Holy Spirit will never lead you into a desert unless the desert is supposed to bloom. You understand? The Holy Spirit took Jesus into the desert to tempt Him, but when He came back in power. You understand? He'll take you sometimes that way if you're being led by the Spirit. You'll wonder and say, hey, man, it seems like I haven't... Yeah, because He's gotten preparing you for something. That's fine. Accept that. If you're being led by the Spirit, accept being led by the Spirit. But know that you're being led by the Spirit and not by your own self. And not by the enemy. You're not being pushed, you're being led. So if there's a force that's forcing you to do something you don't think you should be doing, that is not of God. He will lead you. And He'll bring you into that place. And when He's leading you, you have a peace in you knowing that I'm going here because God is sending me there. And all of a sudden, you're in that place and you go, this is good. And He led you into a place of correction. And you go, oh, this is good. Why? Because once He deals with this, there's more of Him and less of me. All of a sudden now, it's not me, it's Him in me, the hope of glory. That's when you start walking on air. That's when you think you can walk on water. That's when all of a sudden everything looks good, even when it looks lousy out there. You can see something coming. Something's coming. You have an expectation. You have an urgency of being prepared. The Master's coming. The Bridegroom's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Get ready. Because the Holy Spirit's starting to reveal to you He's coming soon. By the way, He's coming soon. Amen? Don't love His appearing so you escape this world. Love His appearing because you love Him. Amen? There's a difference. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me just finish reading this and we'll take communion. He will honor and glorify me because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. He's going to take what is mine, He said, and give it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that the Spirit will take the things that are mine and will reveal or declare or disclose or transmit it to you. So that the righteous and just requirement of... Oh, excuse me, I jumped ahead. So what we learned this morning? You were created to bring pleasure to God. The only way we can bring pleasure to God is if we're being led by the Spirit. No other way. Because it's going to take faith to walk in the Spirit. Faith in His Word. Faith in His promises. Faith that He won't lead you down the wrong path. Faith that He won't lead you to destruction. But He'll bring you into a glorious pasture where there's glory all around you. Father, we thank You this morning for Your blessing of Your presence. Father, I ask even now, Father, for Your presence here, Your Holy Spirit. We welcome You here. Lord, I pray right now, Father God, that, hallelujah, yes, Lord. He said, look, you're not always going to experience a physical experience of My presence, but you will know My presence, because I'll never leave you. Thank You, Father. We praise You, Lord. Give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to have communion. We'll take up our offering at the same time. I'm not done with this yet. We're going to be doing more on the Holy Spirit. I don't believe He's done with us yet.